want to thank the lead steward for this opportunity to minister God's word to you. I don't take these opportunities to minister God's word to you for granted. People don't really appreciate the ministry of the word. The word of God is given to us to direct our lives. The word of God was given to us to ensure that we walk into God's counsel and God's purpose. And the worst thing that will happen to you is when you are deprived of the word. What happens is that you begin to live an abnormal life. The Christian faith is powered by the word of God. What that means is if I am a Christian, the word of God is important to me. Say to me, the word of God is important to me. The word of God is important to me. It's important. You may not know how much demand. Hallelujah. So the word of God is so important. It's so important that people has risked their lives to get it to this point. Let me show you something. Acts chapter 20. Is that Kufre that I see? I saw you on Monday, but before I could even look for you, you had disappeared. I don't know who was around on Monday. I asked about you because I saw you, then I didn't see you again. Don't be doing Batman with me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 20 from verse 28. Acts chapter 20 from verse 28. I'm going to show you something so important. Acts chapter 20 from verse 28 to 32. Acts chapter 20, 28 to 32. Never look down on the word of God. You will soon understand by the time I begin to go into what we're looking at today. Never look down on the word. When it's up, put it up. Never look down on the word. There are many people who are in church today, they neglect the word of God. Acts chapter 20 from verse 28. Look at this. This is Paul's admonition to elders in Ephesus. He says, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flocks over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he had purchased with his own blood. Let me read that again. Maybe you didn't get that. It says, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flocks over the which the Holy Ghost had made you overseers. Now look at the instruction he gives. It says, to feed the church of God, which he had purchased with his own blood. Why? Look at 29. It says, for I know that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter among you, not sparing the flock. 30. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. 31. This is our heart desire coming to this teaching. Look at this. It says, therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I ceased not to warn everyone night and days with what? With what? Look at 32. It says, and now, brethren, I commend you to the word of God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It says, I commend you. I commend you. But he's talking to ministers in verse 28. He tells us that we should feed the flock of God. Now, you might be wondering, why am I talking about that? It's important. Because Paul will give instructions to tell Timothy that you should teach other people, commit to other people the same words that has been committed to you. So what is happening is that when we teach God's word, we are committing the word of God into your hand for the sake of other people. So preaching is not just for the sake of somebody comes to the stage to come and say words to you. Preaching actually is educating you in the life of God, not just for yourself, but to also help other people. Listen, dangerous times are coming.
Dangerous times are coming and they are already here. There are many false teachings, false perceptions. And because we are in a generation that desires knowledge like nothing else, many people are digressing and going to the ways that are wrong. So as believers, we must equip ourselves in such a way that God can count on us to win souls. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the word of God gives you sight. I would continue. But the word of God gives you sight. As your eyes open to see that the church of God is blood-bought. And not just that. That God demands that you give yourself to the word of his grace. There is a new dispensation you will have towards your growth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say after me, I will decide to grow. I will decide to grow. Hallelujah. So our topic today is what? Gang, gang. I don't catch all of them. All of them that not share post that the Lord has caught you. The topic today is what? Don't put it on the screen. Something grand. Hey. The topic of today is good ground. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Good ground. Heart factors for a serious walk with God. Hallelujah. Heart factors for a serious walk with God. I really asking God by his grace that your eyes are open to see what we have for today. You would by force make decisions today. I'm not saying it. If you truly listen to what I'm about to say, you will by force make changes in your life. Because many people, I'm telling you that in fast self, what people do when they wake up is Christianese. Just wake up. Now they're by their bedside. Lord Jesus, I thank you for today. Lord, you are wonderful. Lord, I am blessed. In Jesus' name, amen. That's true. It's already 7:30. Jesus, I'm late. I'm going. And there were some people who spent 6 months, 1 year, some people even 5 years. They have not opened their Bibles. Hallelujah. I'll show you the importance of the word. Praise God. Praise God. So on Sunday, our listener what began a new series with us titled Rooted. Say after me, Rooted. And he emphasized why Christianity. The reason for Christianity. And I want you to go back to listen to that sermon. I really want you to do that. But for the time that we have today, I want us to look at something very pertinent. Something very, 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 very important. You see, there is a posture you must have to receive the blessings of the Christian faith. There is a posture you must have to receive the blessings of the Christian faith. You know, for the word of God to really find or take root in your heart as the month's teaching has been called Rooted, there must be a way your heart must be set. There must be a way your heart must be set to be able to receive what God has in store for you in the Word. And like Maurice Cerullo of Blessed Memory said, truths are parallel. Truths are parallel. So we can find the same occurrence in agriculture, where before a land is being used, or seeds have been thrown into the ground or put into the ground to be planted, the farmer, first of all, he does some things to the land. Removes weeds, sets the grounds in order, puts some systems in place before he puts it inside. He even checks if the soil is the right soil for that thing to grow. Do you know that there are soils that pepper cannot grow on? Hello? You know there are soils that pepper cannot grow on. There are soils that if you plant mango, it will not grow. But where pepper succeeds, mango might not succeed. So it is the work of the farmer to know how to put those things in place to ensure that whatever he puts will bring forth fruit. Hallelujah. So the sign that the seed has been planted well is that you will see fruit at the end of the day, correct? In the same way, if you do not set your heart in the right manner, even if the word of God comes as seed into your heart, it will not yield fruit. And we're going to be looking at a scripture, and that scripture will be the anchor point for this entire teaching today. Let's go to Matthew chapter 13. Jesus begins to explain the same terms I'm talking to you about in Matthew 13 from verse 1. Matthew chapter 13. Finish up with the time we have. So Matthew 13 from verse 1 says, the same day Jesus went out of the house and sat down by the seaside. Verse 2. Hallelujah. So let's go back again. Go back to verse 1. Go back to verse 1. Now look at this. He says, the same day went Jesus out of the house and sat down by the seaside, and a great multitude gathered together unto him, so that he sat into a ship, He went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell on the wayside. Now, take note. He says, number one, take note of this now. It says, some seeds fell where? So, some seeds fell on the wayside. So, Jesus begins to, is categorizing four different types of people. You understand better as we study. So, number one, just write it. Number one, wayside. It says, and the fowls came up and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, and because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, there was scorched, and because they had no roots, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But others fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100, and some 60, and some 30-fold. Who hath who hath ears to hear? Let him hear. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, very important. There are four categories that Jesus lists out to us. Number one, the wayside heart. Remember, we talked about the heart and field as truths are parallel, right? So, the wayside heart, the stony heart, thorns. So, thorns heart, thorn. I don't know who tore the heart, but anyhow. So, thorns and good ground. Now, remember today we're talking about good ground, right? Good ground, right? So let's define what good ground is so that we can begin to chart a course for where we are going to. So what is a good ground? If we're saying that we're talking about good ground, what is a good ground? Let's define that. So a good ground is a ground that refers to the heart that has the right conditions. A good ground is a ground that refers to the heart that has the right conditions for the word of God to enter and for it to take root. A good ground is the ground that refers to the heart that has the right condition for the word of God to enter and for it to take root. Did we get that? Did we get that? So can you echo it back to me? What is a good ground? Why put something like draw soup? What is a good ground? Jesus is watching you. He said a good ground refers to the heart. A good ground is a ground that refers to the heart. To the heart that has the right condition for the word of God to enter and to take root. But before we begin to touch on the good ground, there is a prerequisite teaching. You see this one? It's important. Before we talk about the root entering, Lord Jesus, I ask that people understand this. God. Because this is so important. This is so important. You need to know if your heart can take the word of God. Hallelujah. Let's continue on our journey of Matthew chapter 13. It's a journey. We're not done yet. Matthew 13:10. I want you to notice something that that will shock you. Matthew chapter 13 from verse 10. He says, "And the disciples came and said to him, why speakest thou to them in parables?" Look at verse 11. He answered and said unto them, "Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given." Why? Verse 12. "For whosoever had, to him shall be given, and whosoever..." Let me go back again. "For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that he hath." 13. "Therefore I speak to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing hear not, neither do they understand." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verse 14. "And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive." 15. "For these people's hearts are waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear." Hallelujah. Praise God. So after me, my eyes they see, and my ears they hear. My eyes they see, and my ears they hear. So go back to verse 10. I want to show you something now. Go back to verse 10. So look at this. He says, "And the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables?" Now, when you look at this, you might not understand the importance of this statement. Do you know that when Jesus had finished talking to them about those parables, the multitude, they left. It was the disciples that came to meet Jesus and began to ask him, "Jesus, what did you mean by what you said? And why do you speak to these people in parables?" Do you know why this is important? It's important because it is only those who have a desire for spiritual growth that will grow. It is only those that has a desire. Have you seen students that, did you understand what happened in class? In fact, can I shock you? There are some classes, I don't know if it happens in universities, but in secondary school it happens, that will teach a subject. Everybody visibly cannot, it's not, they don't understand what is happening in the course. So some people will be like, last, we go shall write exam, and now God will help us. But you see some particular few people that's come and meet the teacher. "Sir, this thing did not make sense. How did the X move from the denominator and is now going to become the squared of the number? Sir, it does not make sense. This mathematics is not matching." Then the teacher will now come. "Okay, look at it. This is what you do. This is how you do." To the other students in the class, what the teacher just spoke to them is parables. If you ask them, "Okay, what does it mean?" They can't tell you. The reason why the students will go out of their way beyond that class setting to go an extra mile to understand is because there is a desire to learn. So growth will not happen until there is an inward desire, and nobody can do it for you. Nobody will wake up in the morning and we push you, grow. No. You will have to decide by yourself, with yourself, that I must grow. Sometimes I must grow. You must have a genuine desire to receive the word of God. Because they came to meet Jesus. Hallelujah. So it makes sense. When Jesus begins to talk to them, and in Matthew, and begins to tell them something very important. It says, "Ask, it shall be given unto you. If you seek, you will what?" It's important. Very important. So, the first step to becoming a good ground for the word of God so you can gain root in Christ is to nurture a genuine desire to grow spiritually. Say after me, I grow spiritually. So you can write the first step to becoming a good ground for the word of God so you can gain roots is to nurture a genuine desire to grow spiritually. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Technology has a very wonderful way of frustrating you. Give me the old time religion. I just carry notepad and Bible. My God. Hallelujah. What's wrong with you? Praise God. So we established the first fact from what the disciples did that there was a genuine desire. So they heard the same messages that the multitude heard, but they responded differently by asking, how or why do you speak to them in parables? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So whenever Jesus speaks, he now tells them, blessed are your eyes, for they see. You won't understand the relevance of what this statement is. I will explain to you later. So say, blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears are open to hear. So let's continue. Matthew 13 from verse 18. Matthew 13 from verse 18. Matthew chapter 13 from verse 18. So it says, hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. So he's now explaining. Look at 19. He says, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. Let's continue. It says, but he that receives seed into the stony place is the same that heareth the word, and anon with joy received it, yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulations or persecutions arise because of the word, by and by he is offended. 22. He also that received seed among thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. 23. And he that receiveth seed into good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit. Hallelujah. And bringeth forth some 100-fold, and some 60, and some 30. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, a lot of things are listed here. We'll discuss the stony heart, the good ground, by God's grace, this coming Sunday. But I'll talk to you about the wayside and the thorns. The wayside and the thorns. The wayside and the thorns. So, we've entered proper. Matthew 13 from verse 18. Matthew 13 from verse 18. Now, out of that desire, they meet Jesus, and Jesus begins to explain. Matthew 13:18. Say, hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. Next verse. Says, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, says, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receiveth seed by the wayside. Hallelujah. Now, you will read this verse. You will read this verse and not understand the importance of this. Do you know that there are many people in church? They come to church for 1 year, 6 months, 3 months. If you ask them, what have you learned? What has the word of God done in your life? They are wondering. They can't even remember what they were taught last Sunday. You see the thing about this, Jesus is showing you a spiritual state. He says, the wicked one cometh and catcheth away the word. Do you know that this thing, the people who are by the wayside or have a wayside heart, don't see the enemy come to their heart and grab the word and run away? Are you with me? Are you with me? What is happening here is that they received the word, but they didn't understand the importance of the word. They didn't understand, okay, this is why the word is here. This is what this means. This is the relevance of this. Most times they heard the word, but have not really paid attention to find out what it really means. Many times what the devil does is that he will orchestrate situations to grab that word. So some things will happen now. The person just get back home and for some reason will just be angry. The same thing happened to me today. As I was studying my Bible, as I was reading, I was like, mashakadadada. Ah, this thing is blessing me. Next thing, someone sent me meeting for work. This is not complete. I said, okay, we'll look at it. Then someone that was not in the meeting entered the meeting. And I said, what's wrong with you? Don't reach out to this person. And the person was... First, I was angry. I was like, what's wrong with you? They did not call him to the meeting. What you... It affected me the first time. I said, no, let me leave it. I just shifted it from my mind. I said, Satan, you will not work. Before, it was not up to 30 minutes. Next year, another meeting came in. Said, somebody is trying to deposit money. But the money is not depositing, but we're getting notification that the money is coming. Sir, I sat down, I was like, wait, allow me to meditate on God's word now. Let me be able to give it to God's people. You know, the same thing happens. You will come to church, receive the word of God. After you've received the word of God, see, things happen, and all of a sudden, it's like the enemy does it to hijack the word. So many things happen at the same time. But because the word of God is not rooted in your heart, next thing. But then you're trying to remember, there was a part that blessed you. You wanted to meditate on it small. You're not like, what did the pastor say again? I beg. Let's continue. Satan is there. He said he steals it. The wicked one cometh and catches it away from his heart. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's why you should pay attention in church. Pay attention. You see, the thing is, because you think that the devil is going to come to you with two horns and with tail and with pitchfork, and he's going to come, he's going to use the pitchfork to stab the word and bring it out of your heart. That's what you think. The enemy is subtle. In fact, he's happier when he finds out that he can steal it and you will not know that he's the one. So he will orchestrate situations to ensure that the word of God does not find root in your life. Has this thing happened to you before? I was sitting down somewhere and something you had meditated upon hit you so strong and it gave you energy to move forward. Do you know what happens when the enemy steals those things away? The reason why that thing could bring forth fruit in your life is because that word had found roots inside your heart. So it's beginning to bring forth the expressions of itself. When the enemy steals the word from your life, what happens is that in the day of danger, when it's like as if everything is rocking him left, right, center, he wants to respond. He cannot. Oh, hallelujah. I don't know how to explain this thing better, but you will see somebody who will be in a dire situation and the person cannot respond. And you're telling the person, respond now, say the word of God, speak the word of God. And the person's like, I don't know what to do. I'm worried. God, Jesus, they have killed me. My enemies have succeeded. Why? You allow the word of God to be taken away from your heart. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What is not in you will not come out in the day of adversity. Hope you know. And what that means is if the word has been stolen from your heart, it means that in the day of adversity, nothing will show. Nothing will show. I know the thing about the day of adversity. When it comes, God forbid, you'll be in a place where you cannot reach anybody. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And God, give me better words. Can I shock you? When the devil does that, do you know what he steals from you? It's not just, let me help you. It's not just the sword you used to fight in battle. It's not just that. The devil steals away your sight. You lose sight when you lose the word. Let me help you. Ephesians chapter 1 from verse 15. Let's do 16. Ephesians 1, 16. I'll show you something. And I'll reference back to March of the 13th so that you will see that it correlates. Ephesians 1, 16. Look at it. It says, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you always, making of you in my prayers. Next verse. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, the knowledge of him. Next verse. The eyes of your understanding being what? So he called your understanding what? Eyes. So what happens when he catches away the word? What is catching away is your sight. Your ability to see what God has for you. So when God speaks to Abraham. He says, look northward, eastward, westward, southward. All that you see, I give unto you. Think about it. How could a man stand from one place and see all the earth? Do you know what happened? By the words of God, his vision, the eyes that God gave him, he could see everything. He could see the earth, every part, every place the light touches, everywhere. He saw it and he said, this is mine. It is mine. Listen, when the enemy steals your sight, what happens is that you will no longer be able to respond to God. That's the reason why God will be calling you, say, my son, come. Have you seen a blind man walking? Even if I said, come, the person doesn't even know where I'm telling him to come to. I may be telling him, come, 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 this way, come. A person is wondering, which way? Why? Because understanding has been taken out. Try this out if you've not done it before. Take your time out and go and read the Bible. Read it and read it and read it and digest it. You will find out something that will happen to you. Suddenly, it will be easier to pick the voice of God. Some things will just break. Some things that have lingered will just notice that you are lighter. Some weights have just left you. Why? Because understanding has come, even though you don't know it. Hallelujah. 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 He called this the eyes of your understanding. Now, let me show you something. Matthew 13 from verse 13. It says, and the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? 11 says, therefore speak I to them in parables, because they see not, and hearing hear not. Now you might look at this, not they understand. You might look at this and say, so they are seeing, but they don't see not. They are hearing and do not hear not. Why? Verse 14 says, and in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which said, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. 15 says, for these people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull, and their eyes they have closed. Did you see that? And their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. So they close their eyes, and the moment they close their eyes, understanding was gone. Hallelujah. 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 So many times, even this closing of eyes, when you look at it, sometimes people don't do it consciously. Sometimes in service, they just sit down and they listen to the sermon. Then the next thing, the pastor will not turn. Then one part of his chest will not come out. They're like, this pastor, in no packaging shirt where I watch on tutorial, you put something here. After I put it here, then you now chuck this inside here. Then put it here. And here, then, this pastor, you know, sabi too much. Next person just here is, have you been blessed? Person like, okay. Hallelujah, I came to church. You've missed it. What would have helped you is not there. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Says to me, the word of God works in my life. The word of God works in my life. Can you pray a prayer? Says to me, Lord, open my eyes to see. Lord, open my eyes to see. Just pray that prayer under your breath right now. Lord, open my eyes to see. Lord, I come against confusion. Any attempt of the enemy to steal the word from my heart, it is canceled. Lord, I have seen eyes. I have seen eyes. Thank you, Father. Because, Lord, our eyes are open to see. Our eyes are open to see. In the name of Jesus. In a few minutes, we'll look at the thorns. That is the heart. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's go back a few steps. Matthew 13:22. Is it on your screen? Is it on your screen? Can you read it? 1, 2, 3, go. Hallelujah. Read it again. Hallelujah. He says, and he also that received seed among thorns is he that heareth the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. So, when you look at the cares of this world, you can categorize it under these few things. When you look at the cares of this world, you can look at poverty, challenges, issues, problems. So, the issues that disturb your life, you are wondering, how can I get this done? How will I do this? Then he mentions the deceitfulness of riches. Prosperity, progress, fame, earthly riches, earthly glory, the same thing. The deceitfulness of riches. Why is this important? Why is this important? Many people, in fact, the multitude came to Jesus because of what they could get from him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said, the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word. It choked the word. It chokes the word. So what's happening here is you come for a service to listen to God's word, and then all that's on your mind is my problem, my issue, my family, my life, my problem, my issue, my family, my life. Some people will come to church, even the deceitfulness of riches too, will come to church. They'll, the usher will tell you, sit down with this person. Then you sit down. Then the person is not smelling one kind. They're not like, my God, my Tom Ford perfume is going to spoil. Jesus, God. The pastor is saying, pastor is teaching you about faith. And the only thing you can come out from the service suite is you meet somebody after the service. And you not meet the person. You know, I was just sitting there beside this person. The person not even have style sense. The person, Jesus. And the person was even smelling. Oh, God. And even when the pastor said I should just tell them and welcome to service, I said, Jesus, hey God. That is all you remember from the service. The deceitfulness of riches. You become so prosperous. Now God is at the back seat. You are struggling to get job. You applied, you receive rejection letter like breakfast. As you wake up in the morning, you chop one. As you're moving around, you're like, okay, I just want to buy this small thing. I just open it. Rejection letter. You move around, then you now come to church. Lord Jesus, I will save you all my life. I will give all for you. Then the job now comes. Bam. Pastor, I'm busy. Pastor, no. Pastor, there should be other people that should be doing these things. I've passed this level, sir. You have passed what? You become proud. You become so proud that you've made so much money now. You now feel like, why should I do this thing? Why should I even go for evangelism? Like what's that? Like there are poor people inside the church that the Lord needs to raise. He will use them to reach. Your boss that is an unbeliever, a stark unbeliever, and you meet with him every day. You will not preach to him. Say, no. I'm not. No, all those things are for people that are struggling. Hey, God. Hey, just they play. They play. So there's that extreme. There's another extreme where somebody is so kumbad, disturbed about his problems. Every day I see the person's bony. You see somebody, person is in church. God. Your mouth has done. You are so disturbed. Listen to the word of God. Can I shock you? If truly you will give yourself to the word of God to grow, if truly you will give yourself to the word of God to grow, the word of God will bring you out of that situation. I'm not trying to preach something else. So I'm telling the truth. The word of God will bring out of that situation. When God was telling Abraham in Genesis chapter 15, he said, I am thy shield and your great reward. Do you know what Abraham said? Abraham said, Lord, I don't have a child. Do you know what it means that God met you and told you, I am your shield, I am your great reward. And your statement to him is, Lord, I don't have a child. I can just imagine God has been like, who's doing this one? I'm telling you, I am your great reward. You're telling me you don't have a child. Thank God that Abraham was patient to wait with God. Thank God. Just thank God that he was patient to not in that experience just say, what's that now? Yeah, my great reward. My wife is barren. And now then there's now Ishmael that's moving around. And the wife I married has not given birth. They're telling me I'm a great reward. What's that? There are many Christians that if God tells them today, son, I will bless you. They'll say, Lord, see, I never chop. Just give me food now. Now the one where I want. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You are so blinded by your problems. That's why when we meet people on the road and tell them that the important thing is Jesus, they will meet and tell you, said, all these pastors, people are playing games. You just want to eat our money. You don't understand. You don't know who this Jesus is. If you knew who he was, you would give everything in your life to serve him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just so you know, when Abraham now began to walk with God, such that when God said, give me your son, he did not even think twice. He gave him his son. When God would speak to him, he believed. When his faith had risen, when his walk with God now finally matured to the point that he could believe God, nothing was so close to his heart like God. If you notice, after Sarah died, when he married Keturah, he had 6 children. Where did children come from? Hallelujah. So what he was waiting for all those years, what God wanted him to do, is gain root in the word. Gain root. The Bible said that there was the deadness of Abraham's this thing. Sarah too. Where did the 6 children appear from? Listen to me. With God, all things are possible. Hallelujah. No matter the problem, no matter the issue, God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all. Hallelujah. And even if you say, I have no needs, do you know what God wants? That the money that you have will not just be a reflection of just currency. It will be a reflection of your heart also. So when people see you very prosperous, they don't see you as pompous. You are still as humble as you were before the money came. You are not lifted. You are serving the Lord. I've seen wealthy people, people that work on the oil fields, when they come back, if you see them, you will not believe it. You are saying, I'll go to the toilet. Okay. Now you now see them washing toilet, cleaning. Put somebody with poo, they will flush it. If you ask them how much they make, if you hear, you will run. You'll be wondering, wait, you make what? They are cleaning what? But you've never, you know, somebody's making 100 million. You just said they're making 100,000. If you come close to me, I will slap you. Do you know how much I have? After all the money I've made. Money. Hallelujah. You must learn to abase, bring yourself down. And the word of God will not work, especially when you are so concerned about so many things. It's the same thing that happened to Martha. Jesus was talking with Mary. Mary was sitting down, was listening to Jesus. Martha was so disturbed about everything that was happening to the point she met Martha and she was angry. Says, Lord, what's all this? Tell Martha to leave here and come and join me inside the kitchen. And Jesus told her, he said, Mary has speaks the right way. You are so disturbed about so many things. Why don't you just sit down and at the master's feet and listen? And the thing about listening to the master is he never leaves you the same. It will never leave you the same. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you know what God is aiming at? What God is aiming at is that at the end of the day, you will not be running just after the gift of God, but you'll be running after him. I have a question for you. Do you want destiny or you want survival? Do you want destiny or you want survival? One of the midnight encounters, I was praying. And while praying, the Lord said, open this verse. I want to show you something. That was when Solomon was wanted to sacrifice unto the Lord. And the Lord came to him in the night and asked Solomon, Solomon, what do you want? What do you want? You know, when we read that in our mind, we think, what we hear, like you just said now, that Solomon met the Lord and said, Lord, I need wisdom. Lord, I need it right now. I need it. Do we have time for that? Nexus, can you help me? Find it. That'll be the last verse we'll read and we'll call it a service. 1 Kings chapter 3, Verse 5. Perfect. So 1 Kings 3 from verse 5. That's why I like you guys. So 1 Kings 3 from verse 5. Look at this. I'll show you the heart posture that God wants you to have. Look at this. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night and asked. And God said, ask what I shall give you. And Solomon said, thou hast shown unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he hath worked before thee in truth and in righteousness and uprightness of heart with thee, and has kept him from, and has kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne, as it is this day. Next verse. And now, O Lord, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father, and I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. Verse 8. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. 9. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this, so a great people? Next verse. And this speech pleased the Lord. Solomon had asked this thing. Look at verse 11. I want you to see how the Lord responded. And God said to him, because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither has there, had, look at this, has thou asked riches for thyself, nor has asked the life of thy enemies, but has asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. 12. Behold, I have done according to thy words, and lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after shall there arise like unto thee. 13. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee in all thy days. Hallelujah. Can you see? It said, an understanding heart. An understanding heart. Kings of those days. Say, ah, Lord, please, this person, kill him. Take this one out. Lord, then give me more money. Then do this one, do this one. Do you know what it means that God asks you? And the first thing is that you come as a tender child unto the Lord and say, Lord, give me an understanding heart to discern good, to discern this, to discern. That is the same thing the believer should act. You should have such a heart towards the Lord, desiring so much that it is what the Lord wants, his desires, that will be done. It is in that heart that the word of God will land inside, and it will spring forth into 100-fold, 60-fold, 30-fold. And when you live like this, do you know what was said here that touched me? He said, and I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked. Doesn't this resemble Matthew 6:33? Says these things the Gentile think about, says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Hallelujah. This is the type of heart you must have. You must have a heart that's desirous to know the Lord, to walk with the Lord. That's why when Jesus, after he spoke the parables, when the apostles came to meet him and said, why you speak to them in parables? When he spoke to them, he says, blessed are your eyes, for they see. It's because you seek understanding of those things. Blessed are your eyes, for they see. It's because you seek understanding. Blessed are your eyes. Blessed are your ears, for they hear. Can you rise up on your feet right now? Lord, our heart receives the word of God. And Lord, I ask in the name of Jesus for everyone here. Lord, the word of God gains root in your life. It gains root in your life in the name of Jesus. Lord, I ask right now that there is ease. Ease to your life. Ease to your life. Ease to your life. In the name of Jesus. The Lord gives you understanding. The eyes of your understanding is enlightened. The eyes of your understanding is enlightened. The eyes of your understanding is enlightened. In the name of Jesus. The eyes of your understanding is enlightened. In the name of Jesus. Lord, I ask that for everyone here, the enemy will no longer steal the word of God in your heart. The enemy will no longer steal the word of God in your heart.
Your heart is open to receive. Your heart is open to receive in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name. And then they suspect you now. Hallelujah. Praise God. So, listen, God has a lot in store for us. I want us to open our hearts to receive God's word with openness of heart. Now more than ever, listen, can I be sincere with you? If you allow the word of God to gain root in your heart, you don't know, you see, your eyes cannot, your mind cannot comprehend what God has in store for you. What God has in store for you